Hey everybody, this is Heather, and you're listening to Simply Healed with Heather Leonard. This week's episode is called What Ifing Yourself Frozen. I think I've done this a time or two probably already today, so this is a good topic. I want to get into some communication things, some things around assumptions. There's a lot of stuff packed into today. It's not just about one thing, so I hope you stick around for the whole show. All right, guys, here we go. Thanks for joining. Hello, hello. I'm back. I did it last week's was pre-recorded because I went away on a trip. I don't usually reveal that stuff before I travel, just safety reasons. I don't let people know when I'm going to be out of town, but I am back. I'm a little sleepy, a little out of it. Might say a few crazy Heatherisms along the way today, but I am back and ready to go, guys, with lots of information today. So first, I just have to say, wow. I must have been shouting the entire time that I was in Hawaii. My ears are finally getting back to normal, which is hilarious, sort of, but also it makes me think about miscommunication. So someone could think you're yelling at them, whether like what happened to me, you're actually raising your voice because something's off with your hearing, or you're communicating maybe via email, text, or like some of us dinosaurs out there who still love the old pen and paper. I have love for you. I still love a good pen and paper. Anyway, you know how easy that mistakes and miscommunication can happen. So here's a quick story time. I was sitting next to a woman on one of my Hawaiian flights who had this dating profile out. And she had a picture of herself with the flower behind her ear, which it was behind her right ear. Well, okay, so in her mind, she thought it, well, it actually was. Let me just back up. It was behind her right ear, which communicates single. And she thought it was a really nice touch, right? So we got talking about her profile and how, you know, she wasn't meeting the right people and stuff. And her selfie profile was taken in the mirror. Now, I'm guilty of mirror selfies because I'm just terrible at selfie taking, and it helps me to be able to do it that way sometimes. But anyway, so she thought it was a nice touch to put the flower in there. Only since it had been taken from the mirror, it appeared that that flower was behind her left ear. Now, this is not a major thing, one might think, but in Hawaiian culture, it kind of sent a mixed message, or at least made her look like maybe someone who didn't know the local culture. Because I had actually done the same thing, by the way, myself unknowingly, with the mirror picture, and the mirror always catches me up. Like, when I decided to swap my wedding ring to my right hand from my left, my clients kept asking me, like, why are you still wearing your wedding ring on your left hand? And the only, so I recognized the mistake she had made only from my own error, you know, looking at my own photo that I had just sent to a friend with a flower behind my ear that week. And I realized, oh my gosh, it was in fact behind my right ear, but it looked like it was on the left. And the only reason I recognized it was because I looked at my ring finger and realized that my, you can see the flower on the same side of the hand that has the ring, and that's my right side. But it looks in the picture like it's on my left. I kept trying to look at it a million different ways. It looks like it's on the left. So I was able to recognize it on hers, you know, that was the error she had been making, you know? And so it's funny how just a little error in what you're communicating, whether physically or verbally or whatever, it can make a big impact. So another just a little tidbit on communication, it intermingles with fear a lot. Okay, quick note, my co-host Stitch has arrived, so be warned. So again, it intermingles with fear a lot. And I know a few people right now who are tangled up in situations that they feel, air quote, stuck in. And this ties in to the topic that I was going to talk about of the what ifs, but I'll get into that more later. But stuck is a presumption, and it's rooted in your own beliefs. My friend tangled up in wanting to leave her husband, but too afraid of the what ifs, has presumed that things will go a certain way. And what's wild to me, though, as I can see as an outsider, that he's not all that happy either currently. He's like acting a fool, trying to dance around and impress her and get her attention. That's obviously elsewhere. He's unhappy with things as they currently are. And the sad part to me is that it's one conversation that could change all of their worlds for the better. You know, if she told him that she wanted to part ways and see if they could find a way to do it amicably for the kids, what if he agreed? What if he was happy to separate fairly? What if she had been all wrong with her assumptions? Or what if that communication made things really blow up? Maybe she'd see an entirely different side of him, the honest, not held back side. And maybe she didn't like it at all, you know, and maybe it revealed other reasons to her why separation would be a good thing. Or maybe it would draw them closer as they discussed the problems and realized that there had been a lot of misunderstandings that never got spoken of, that, you know, she had been living with, thinking that things were a certain way and she was wrong. You know, I don't know why communication always seems to lack, but maybe it's an attachment and holding on tight to what's hard to release. Maybe it's the fear of the unknown. I mean, I can tell you this after my trip especially, but the unknown has brought so many new friends and a renewed confidence into my life. You know, even assuming, by the way, that you think you know what life's trying to teach you is probably not good, because lessons come in all forms. I mean, I have this one night I ended up sitting at the bar in the lounge area of my hotel with three widows. What are the odds of this, right? Three widows sitting there together. None of us knew the other story, and just general conversation led to so much goodness. And I'll get into this a little bit more, more of that story later, because, you know, what I had assumed that I really went to Hawaii for, if all that had happened, like these other conversations that would never have happened, that had to happen. So anyway, I'll get into that more later. But I will tell you this, when you work on yourself, those people around you change, because people spend a lot of time trying to change other people. And it's not something you can do. You can only change yourself. And I know I've touched on this before in this podcast, but I just feel the need to say it again. My dog is really in rare form today, guys. Sorry. He just got back from his vacation as well. And anytime he goes there, he gets nervous, and he's a French bulldog. He gets skin issues. He's all itchy. So he's just like snorting and rolling around on my floor. So that's the background sound you're hearing. So anyway, so back to like, I've hearing a lot about this. So I just want to touch on the, when you're trying to change others, don't work on that. You know, like I recently thought someone was living out of fear. Well, it turns out I am hugely frozen in fear, right? I was not making big things happen out of my own fears. You know, if you thought that someone around you feared commitment and were committing to nothing or living on the fence, maybe it's time you pulled the trigger so to speak, on like a decision you've been vacillating with and ruminating around, and then watch those around you start becoming more decisive. It's really magical. It is. It's something else. But so you can influence others without trying to change them, you know, by you sitting in the thing that you want them to do more of will actually bring in more of that around you. So it's just a fun thing to watch. But if you want to unstick someone else, unstick yourself. You want honesty, get real honest with yourself, right? And back to communication, you know, what's your love language? Let me start there. Communicate, okay? Because for me, if I give you an hour of my time, it almost means more to me than to have sexual intimacy. Like, really, honestly, because time is what I value most. So others, it's when they do an act of service for you. While other people might need like attention, and other people might be PDA, but figure it out, right? Just communicate. You know, if you think they don't love you, they may have just shared their entire life story with you. And you may think that that means nothing, but for them, that might be revealing parts of themselves. And that's how they show or demonstrate love. So here you think the person doesn't care for you at all, and they just gave you one of their biggest acts of love, you know? So while on this topic of communication, I got one more thing I just kind of want to throw in there. And that's just, let's talk about something that gives me help with decision making, because this is a story. Saying your step out loud sometimes helps, right? So sometimes when you just speak it and say what you're going to do, and you say it out loud, it sometimes gets in the way. Let me just back up a little bit. I'm getting ahead of myself. So in other words, when you're going to take an action and do something, verbalizing it, now you've put it out there into the universe, right? And so that can be super, super helpful. But other times when you do that, here's what I did yesterday, guys. I posted on Facebook. Oh, what did I do? Like, right? I hate posting on social. Anyway, if you all know me, you know. So it felt like, okay, so on the positive, it allowed me to do the, okay, I announced it, now I'm doing this thing, right? You got that little boost, like I was saying. Sometimes it gives you that feeling of like, all right, I have put action, I've made this a verb, it's happening. But on the other hand, it's like opening Pandora's box of opinions that maybe you don't want to have or have to respond to just yet. So I wasn't intending to make some formal announcement yesterday. I was just speaking out loud a tiny bit of my soul and my discoveries, and people read quite easily between the lines, and the gates opened up. Like, texts flew in, Messenger blew up, and even the post itself had a ton of comments that I kept feeling like I had to respond to. Oh, goodness. So it's like, here's the thing. For me, I don't use Facebook in the way of like, here's what I'm doing, here's what I'm up to, but I was getting so many reach outs around, you know, oh, how was the trip? Will you send a picture? Will you send this? And weeding through like, all right, what picture do I want to send this person? And getting back to people, I was like, almost like, no, I'm just going to do a mass, like, here's the whole trip. My youngest son kept pushing me to like, take a picture every day to show me that you're happy, and send me a picture every day to know that you went to the beach and didn't just work the whole time and all that stuff. So I had a lot of like, photos and things, and I just, okay, I'll do this just the once, right? Do it the one time, and then I won't have to do it to everybody over and over again. So I thought that's what I was doing. But little did I know where this was gonna roll out. So ultimately, guys, it's your life and only one opinion matters, right? You have to feel great about what you're choosing no matter what it is. And sometimes inviting others' opinions can put doubt in your mind. It's kind of like giving the devil an opening to place fear and doubt in your heart, you know? But decision making is a funny thing. I always do this one practice, and this might sound silly. It's like a little kid, right? But it does work. Some things I hang on to for a lifetime for a reason. So I imagine making the decision, whatever you're stuck on. I imagine actually making the decision. Like, have you ever done a coin flip and no one can decide sushi or pizza? So you flip the coin and pizza it is. Only you feel super bummed. And it's like you already wanted sushi all along, right? Or sometimes you get pizza and then you're so relieved, like you were cheering for it all along. So on some level, you know, it's like you already kind of knew what you wanted. You didn't even need the act of the game to kind of see, but that will help you cue into how your emotions would feel if it went one way or the other. And trust your intuition. You know, what will keep you up at night if you walk away from it? If I didn't follow the call to Hawaii, I would have always wondered and spent a lot of time thinking about the opportunities I wasn't pursuing. Now to the non-committal avoidant types, because I get this question all the time from listeners. And apparently there's quite a few non-commitment types out there. This is funny because I never really was in the relationship space. I started out in the grief space, but it's kind of a close parallel, and I didn't even realize it at first. And the more the time that I've spent in this community, the more questions I get around commitment types. So I've had to do my own research to learn about these different types and what, you know, what makes them tick and whatnot. But anyway, here's my question. And I actually just asked this of someone I know recently because, and I find it interesting how people think about this, but what is the actual harm in a yes for commitment people? Like, I've been pretty perplexed about this. In a day, you can change your mind. It's a commitment to not pursue other people and to give your love and energy to that one person. Like, for a minute, right? That's all the commitment is. You decide how you feel about how they show up within that commitment and if it's worth continuing to pursue. It's literally one phone call to say, you know what? I don't think it's working. You know, you're going to probably get more drama, especially for the people who say, well, I don't, you know, I want to just stay out of the drama of relationships and stuff. You're probably going to get more drama out of your refusal to even try. But maybe some guys or ladies just like that feeling of the woman or man chasing a bit. So you can help the situation by taking back your power and just don't chase. Please don't be a chaser. If the person doesn't choose you, go find someone who can't live without you. And I'll low-key admit I'm a bit of a hypocrite at times on this front, but I've made a commitment to myself that this is the year that I know my worth and I don't settle for potential or seeing what a person could show up as, but they aren't. In all my relationships, by the way, I'm not just talking about, you know, love or whatever. I'm talking about love too, but friendships, family, all kinds of relationships, because we can do this in all areas, you know, that overgiving to people who never give back. And the world's not small, so don't limit yourself. You know, what's really amazing, though, is that you can actually help the other person a little. So this is what I was talking about at the beginning. You can, by choosing, you will help make them make a decision. Because choosing attracts choosing. So don't twist what I just said. That doesn't mean they're going to choose you. But stop walking the fence. You know, so if there are things you've been putting off, like making a big move to your dream location, just choose. When you start making solid decisions and feeling good around them, then those around you will. So in that way, you know, you can sort of spark that within them to make the choice. Not to choose you, but just to make a choice, you know. And a side note, changing something about yourself, like trying to lose weight or dressing differently than you usually do to go out on a date, that all communicates to the universe, okay? So just keep that in mind. You're saying, I'm not enough as I am. So don't send that message or you'll always find yourself feeling like you're not enough, you know? I feel like a lot of people do that, whether they even realize it or not. It's like, oh, today I'm going out with so-and-so, so I'm putting on a little extra nice things and doing my hair a little different. And it's like, what? Why? Show up as you and know that you is like, you already should that. It's one way or the other. Or on a day-to-day, you should be putting in more effort. Truly, like your mama talking right now, like make sure you're putting your best foot forward every day. And then you should be able to show up as your confident self and not have to do all the stuff. But, you know, in thinking about what lights me up without trying to adjust based on what sells or what others want and all of that, it really is, you know, that you got to sort of dial in, thinking about what lights you up and what it is that, you know, because I mean, I could spend in my job all the time in the world thinking like a marketing brain of what would sell programs, what would look better to the public. But no, thinking about what lights you up. And in line with that, I made a list of my sort of offerings, like my new resume, but one that includes all the parts of what I want to start incorporating, not titles and skills, but like the parts of the things I do that I really enjoy. And so when I started going on my list, I'll just read it to you anyway. Why not? Okay. So let me see if I can find it here. So physical therapy. I'm doing that again, guys. I don't know if I've told anybody this yet. So for a while I shelved it for this other stuff, but I'm going to start reincorporating that into what I do. I love it and I miss it. Anyway, that aside, physical therapy, massage, particularly hot rocks massage is one of my favorites. Meditation, Ho'oponopono, I will explain that in another future episode. Hypnotherapy, grief coaching, live podcasts, women's health, and tied in with that, I love fertility work. You know, people that are trying to achieve pregnancy, it's something that I actually did my doctoral work on and absolutely love. Of course, it's rewarding, so there's that. Exercise classes, land, water, or on a standing paddleboard, I love that stuff. Integrative manual therapy, grounding meditations on the beach, and somehow writing has to stay at the top of my list because it's one of my very favorite passions, and I'll probably always continue to write to my members in Facebook and work on books and write ads and all that stuff, but in some way I have to keep writing because it's my passion, lyrics, whatever, I don't know. So what is my point to all this? Doing those things that I'm called to do puts me in my good energy, and guess what? It makes you more attractive, and more importantly, it makes you happy, right? And that's why you're attractive, because it will literally make people a magnet to your energy. When you are in a good space, you have to stay in good energy, guys. You really do. So find those things that make you happy and try to really incorporate as much of your life around those things as you can, you know? So much self-reflection has happened for me this year already, and this year is just still so young. But I will say, on a friend's advice, I've tried to accept a more modern dating world, but guys, I just can't. You have to stay true to who you are, right? And it's just not in my DNA, y'all, like this new way of things. Like, I'm a serial monogamist, a one-person relationship girl. Like, whoever you are, it doesn't matter. Just own it. You know, you don't have to change your mold to fit. Life is boring that way anyway, if we're all the same, you know? And if it feels off to you, it probably isn't for you. This includes information, because man, was I given some bad info. Like the Hawaiian people, I just have to say this. I told my my Facebook group clients this, but my gosh. The Hawaiian people, one smile and literally were making plans for the next day. Yet people wanted to warn me that outsiders aren't welcome on the island. Guess what? that was their experience, or maybe even just a rumor they had heard with no validity at all to it. You know, the people I met made me feel like family in a night. So have you ever noticed the energy difference in line waiting to board a flight somewhere versus the way to come home? So this was another interesting just like light bulb moment for me. People are excited to visit some places. And this should speak to you if you're one of those people on the fence about where you should live in life or whatever. Have you ever just noticed, like, on the way to Hawaii, people were, like, all good vibes and energy and happy and couldn't wait to get to their destination. When I was on my way home, not to say that there's anything wrong with those locations, but everybody was, like, ugh, like a different energy. Maybe wiped from their vacations. Maybe, I don't know, I just feel like, if the land and the people call to you, don't ignore that. You should never feel sad to go home, right? It includes people, by the way. And what I mean is that your person should feel like home wherever they are. They should be, wherever they are, you should be excited to be, if that makes sense. Say that the right way. You know, let them be your beacon. And if it doesn't keep drawing you back, return that carrier pigeon, right? I don't know why that just came to my head, but it's so true. Like, if they don't feel like the lighthouse, it's a carrier pigeon you need to return. Oh my gosh. Oh, Stitch, my goodness. He likes, he's had two baths since he's been home, and I still think he smells funny. One of the downsides of leaving your dog for over a week. Oh boy. So, you know, I'm just returning from my trip to Hawaii, where I went to determine if it could be our new home. And some people might question, why would I have to travel basically to paradise in order to decide if it was a great place to live? Because it kind of seems like an obvious yes. But the reality is, while I knew it would be beautiful and suck me in just like the first time I went there, I also had to take a look at it through a different eye of, like, can I live here with two boys? You know, does that make sense? And in my travels, I realized the reason that I've yet to move there and what had held me back all this time. And the reality is, I gave fear a seat at the table. You know, I'd been allowing it to have an opinion for far too long. The only thing that had ever kept me from making a move like that is because of the fear of all of the unknowns and the things that would have to change. And it aligns with everything I talk about on this podcast, that if you know something is aligned for you, but the worry of what ifs are stacked up between you and doing the thing, you're getting in your own way. And those what ifs will hold you back your entire life. So I decided to put fear back where it belongs and take a step into the unknown and follow my heart and follow my logical brain. You know, even it, my logical brain, thinks that this time it makes sense to do this. It really does. Both logic and heart on this choice were really aligned that this makes sense. But it was fear I was rooted in. You know, some people say the devil or darkness or whatever, all the negative ideas and worries were the only thing holding them back. And I don't give into that fear. I refuse to allow it a seat at the table. And I refuse to live a small life because it feels safe, secure, and familiar. You know, I'm sorry, I'm like out of breath because oh gosh, I'm like, I better not even get sick again, y'all. I'm not letting that happen. Take that right out of my mind. It's probably because I went 48 straight hours without sleep, so I'm like exhausted from walking up the stairs right now. So bear with all my deep breathing this episode. I'm like out of breath, just trying to pass on a message. But okay, so do you know what the very interesting thing is about fear? It's that the risk of doing something and it not going well feels much smaller of a risk to me than always having something left on my unknown what-if side of the table. As in, I never want to look back and think, what if I had taken the leap of faith? And if I had just picked up and moved to pure paradise? What if you had reached out and tried to put your resume in to see if you could get that dream job? What if I had just said yes when my friend asked me to travel abroad with her for that year? What if I had just dropped everything when, you know, my brother needed help and I was too busy? Or what if you never asked the girl out? Do you really want to, like, any of those types of what ifs at the end of the day that are just there reminders of the things you didn't dare to do? Those are the things to me that will haunt me in my last days. Those are the things I'll always wonder, what if I had just taken that plunge that would have felt so good? You know, what if? Because now I ran out of the one essential thing to have that which is time. You know? Oh, what if you say no to all those things out of fear or worry of the what ifs? Sure, there's always what if I do what I want to do and it goes wrong. But listen, I had one plan for my week in Hawaii. But the universe, God, had something entirely different planned. And it took the first plan blowing up in my face for the others to unfold. If I had been where I planned to be, conversations likely would not have happened and connections wouldn't have been made that had to happen for me to decide to move to Hawaii. This is crazy, right? That is a fact, though. If I had been where I had intended to be, so it's as though God already knew, the universe already knew, something else had to happen to get me there. And I'll be honest, the hardest thing I've had to do is walk away from something I love. And this week's been kind of packed with that. But in reality, if it's not serving you, it's important to cut the ties. So why was I hanging on to my husband's muscle car or our homes? Fear of cutting it free, I suppose, and all the unknowns that come with it. But truth is that it was holding me back. True in love, too, by the way, for those of you hanging on to bad relationships, you can't meet your perfect match, which I believe is out there for everyone, if you're tied down to something else that's not fully serving you. If you're not getting back what you're putting in, let it go. Same with hanging on to the potential that the person has. Believe what they show you. That's a hard but important pill to swallow. You know, if the job you desire is out there, it won't find you while you're tirelessly driving yourself into the ground at an unfulfilling job. You know, give life the opportunity to make you fully happy. So I'm going to take a quick break here, guys, because I went a little bit beyond the halfway point this time because I was just rambling away. So I'm going to take a quick break and be right back. Don't go anywhere. I'm back from Hawaii, so I don't know when you're going to be listening to this. Some of you, it'll be long past the release, but just to let you all know, this is the month I'm going to be releasing my hypnotherapy sessions, and my website will be back up and running live, so stay tuned for that. But you have a very short window left of time to reach out to me before I officially launch, and once I do, these extra bonuses won't be available, so all you have to do is if you're thinking any type of hypnotherapy, doesn't even matter. I have so many programs under the sun. I'm sure there's a perfect match for you. And if not, I can come up with something custom. But if it's something that interests you, please be sure to reach out to me in the email that I will provide in the description of today's podcast. I will leave a link. Send me an email. Just say, I want the bonuses. That way, in case you decide to sign up for one of my hypnotherapy sessions, you'll get some free bonus stuff. All right, guys, back to the show. All right, so call it irony when moments like this happen, but like me being at the airport when Sugarland's probably 90s song, Stay, comes on, you ever feel like the radio's just mocking you? You know, kind of like Alanis Morissette's song, Ironic. Isn't it ironic? So the run of songs for me as I'm sitting in the airport, it was like, first Stay, then I Want You to Stay, but You Should Probably Leave. Or when, like, No Way It Was Our Last Night comes on, you know, the country song, I think it's Last Night. If you're trying to move past someone you should walk away from, because all the signs say it's time, but you keep coming back. Like that imbalance I was talking about of pouring in too much for someone who's not reciprocating back. Give a listen to Jason Aldean and Carrie Underwood's If I Didn't Love You, I'd Be Good By Now. That song, I think it's If I Didn't Love You. I'm sure all my country lovers out there will know this one, but it's like when there's a big breakup that happens and then it's a shanty, my heart can't take no more, I keep on running back to you. You know what I'm saying? You'll be like, who's spying on me? Stop it. Music can be therapy, but man, can it poke at your heart sometimes. It's funny, I'm drawn to music. And I think I might have said this in here, it might have just been my clients I talked to about this, because it's one of my methods I use. If I'm in a mood, I use music to alter it. And that can, it's sometimes a double-edged sword, because while on the one hand, I'm often, when I'm in a bummed out mood, drawn to the more sort of sadder songs, they can drag you down and keep you down. So I use it kind of the opposite way. When I'm feeling sort of bummed out now, I try to tune into something that's going to bring my mood and energy back up to a good place. You know, I want to be dancing in my kitchen. I don't want to be like crying in my Cheerios kind of thing. So, I mean, sometimes though, you're just at the what's the word I'm looking for? You're at the disposal, I guess. That sounds weird. But of what's happening around you. Like I, at the airport, I had zero control over what was happening on the radio. I was just sitting there, you know, as I was sort of back and forth and vacillating between what the pros and cons on either side of things. The songs on the radio were literally tugging at my heartstrings, pulling me one direction, pulling me the other, pushing me this way. I was just like, you know, a victim to it. I couldn't really have any control over what I was listening to. I mean, just, I have a few last words this week. I know they've got about 10 minutes to go here probably, but you know, one thing that came to me is that if you're the one friend that always gives great advice that you don't heed yourself, dude, not being gender specific with the dude, because I have men and women who listen, but men, ladies, follow your own advice. You know, that's the stuff you know to be truth. That's what's really interesting is like the advice you would give to your bestie. That's the stuff you should be following. I tell my best friends things all the time. And it was even, you know, brought to me that I probably talk about things on my podcast that, yeah, sometimes it makes me feel like a fraud. It makes me feel like, you know, a hypocrite, because I will say things that I know make sense, that are the truth I know in my heart. But do I always follow it? Do I always, you know, draw the line and stay firm and do all these things, empowerment that I say? No. I mean, we're all growing, so cut yourself slack. I don't live in a place of, you know, beating myself up over it. But, you know, I'm always working on myself. And I think that's the ticket, is that all of us have to keep working on ourselves. And sometimes we just have to take that leap of faith. You know, for me, I mean, did I foresee this year was going to be the year that I finally just said, I'm just doing it? No. And as a matter of fact, even that plan has sort of moved up a bit in my mind, because it wasn't going to be for a couple years. Now I'm thinking it's right at my feet, and these connections I've made are really important to keep. And there's a lot to this story I haven't shared, but a lot of other things weighing in my mind where the timing, it's funny, like when you put things off till tomorrow, that can be telling. And it's not telling of like, oh, well, the circumstances just aren't perfect. It's telling of what's in your inner self. Like it was fear. Like I said before, there was fear leading to every decision I was making. And so that's why saying, oh yeah, like I'm gonna do that in a year, or whatever, that's pushing, that's forward projecting it. I was like, literally just, I'm not ready to deal with it yet. And that was a fear thing. So it was like, ugh, you know, that literal cutting of the ties and decision that it's happening and starting to take the action steps to make it happen. I didn't want to go there because that was where the discomfort was, you know? So I've started. The second I walked through my front door from my trip, I started looking around at what can I tackle. And that's powerful. That speaks to me really loudly. But, yeah, it really was fear-based of all the things I was going to have to deal with that were about to fall apart. But what's so crazy is every little step isn't that scary. Everything I've done, every step is fine. It's the big picture that's terrifying. So I stopped looking at the big picture, and I'm just tackling one thing at a time that I know I can do. But they're all steps. And I know I've mentioned this method before, but if you make at least one forward action step towards what you desire each day, by the end of the year, that's 360, you know, so you're getting, my point is just this. You could say, well, it's all too much, so I'll deal with it later. But later never seems to come. So like day one thing or two things, or maybe you could tackle a whole bunch of things, but do what you can tackle as much as you can pack into a day that doesn't feel like overwhelm. And then once that's done, you move to the next, but you don't take days off from this. You keep doing it every day. It's when you start taking a day off here and there that then it starts slipping away and out of your grasp again. But it's really, I don't know, putting things off for me now feels like putting off my life. And as much as I don't know that next step and what my life's going to look like, and that part can be a little terrifying too, especially for a planner like myself, I know it doesn't look like this. I know that this day in and day out doesn't fill me with excitement. It doesn't make me feel like I have a full cup. It just doesn't. It feels like there's something missing. And I just don't want that for myself or my kids. Like, let's be honest, the kids always end up being a big part of why we all delay things and don't do things, and because it's a big excuse that everybody will understand, right? Who doesn't understand that? You don't want to shake up your kids' world. So, you know, I think I'm going to take them out of the equation for now, because they're happy when I'm happy. They're happy when there's no stress and arguing. They are happy when I'm not cursing because my mailbox is frozen sideways right now in the snowbank from the plow hitting it, and the plow driver's packing it in, and the mail guy not being able to deliver, and I'm in here and I'm up one side and down the other because I'm stressed out. They don't want that. So if I can get right and happy, that translates. And it's really Stitch. And so for, you know, and I think about my friend and her situation and her kids at home. She uses the kids as, again, I'm going to call you out, girl, I love you, but like as the excuse and the fear of like what their life's going to look like and what it's going to do to them. And listen, they love you both. That will not change, you know, and they can love you both in different locations. I mean, I think about, oh my gosh, my dog. I think about when my parents, when I was growing up, my dad used to travel all the time. And when he was in Asia, do you think I didn't love him anymore or I felt loved less by him? No, I couldn't wait for him to get home. If anything, it made me love him even more because I appreciated in his absence how much of a great part of my life he was. And when he got home, I was just so excited to hear about his travels or get a postcard from him. And it didn't mean I felt abandoned. You know, I mean, if you're living down the street and you only give them every other weekend, it does not mean they're going to love you less. They're going to be happier when they see both of you now meet your perfect matches and be really lit up and happy and doing what you want to do. And, you know, that like light back in your eyes, not what's going on right now, which I have seen firsthand. And it's more like two sad people coexisting. And yeah, like you're doing the things and you're doing it together or whatever, but it doesn't feel and it does not give off that energy of passion. And I don't want you to be teaching your kids to Stitch, to have relationships where you compromise and it's lacking, and tell them that that's okay because it's what you do, because it's commitment and it's what you have chosen and you got to see it through and you got to work at it. And that is not what you should communicate to your children, because then the next generation is going to do the same thing and find these marriages that are like, I don't want to say loveless because there's love there, but you know, passionless and like not. You know if you've worked on it or not. You know if you're repeating a cycle that's unhealthy. You know, so I'm not ever saying to give up, and I'm still not a big proponent of divorce, but I think sometimes, guys, it's a thing. When you see that, like, you've put in the effort, but now there's a cycle and it happened again. How many agains are you going to allow before you recognize that a, you know, leopard doesn't change its spots, or whatever the heck that saying is? Is it a cheetah? You know what I mean? But it just is like, come on, you're chasing your tail. And it's because you don't want to blow up your world and start over. And that's a lot. And I get it. I'm about to blow up my world, and not in a divorce, but in, you know, having to do all the same things you will. New insurances, new, you know, home, buy, sell, separate, all of it. It's a mess. I get it. I hear it. I also know the other side of this looks so much better for your future. I don't want to see, you know, the both of you sort of put this off until inevitably, let's say the kids are out of the house and then you finally decide to do it or something. That is years wasted. You just lost out on years of your life, and you'll probably all the more then, because it will be no distractions of kids' sports and all this other stuff. Without all that, it'll highlight all of the weaknesses within that marriage that you tried to work on and you repeatedly failed at or whatever, they will be highlighted. And then at that point, the clashing will likely lead to divorce because you no longer have that excuse of the children. And by then you have missed out on an entire lifetime you could have spent happy, really happy. That's all I'm saying. If you guys know that your happiness exists out there, I mean, this is kind of like an awful thing to say, but I keep seeing it everywhere right now, everywhere. Too many people that are already finding like happiness, like this is what I would be doing. I would be moving there. I would be, you know, marrying this person. I would be accepting this amazing position. But right now, this is my current circumstances. And, you know, I have to like see this through for the kids or for the whatever, you know, there's always the excuse. But if that's what you're doing, you are shelving your own life. And you, then your poor children, by the way, you're putting it on them that it's their fault or something. Like, I'm doing this for you. I bet if you talk to those kids when they're grown, because, you know, I've got a few friends that have parents that divorced when they were young, and none of them, every single one of them was perceptive enough to know when things were not right. And every single one of them was like, yeah, I don't know why they were together. You know, it's never like a what people imagine of the whole, like, oh, yeah, my parents divorced when I was young and it was awful and da, da, da. Like, I don't hear that very often. But I do often hear people saying to me that their parents stuck around together too long and that they experienced and witnessed a lot of arguing, bickering, or just not, like, you know, they weren't in love with each other, and I want better for myself, and I want, you know, which I guess, I mean, you're giving them a stepping stone to wanting more maybe, but no matter what, live for yourself. I'm not saying don't consider children. I'm not saying don't consider others, but sometimes the gift you give to yourself will actually end up giving those around you a gift as well. You know, who knows what's waiting for them for next. So anyway, guys, all around the bend as always, but I hope some of these things on communication and the what ifs and decision making and all that helped you out a little in some aspect of your own life. I tried to touch on all the topics that I've been hearing about lately, and I will try to remember to drop a link to this podcast to those friends who asked me to hit on these topics for today so that you have access to my responses. But guys, thanks as always for tuning in. I'm always just beside myself and with gratitude for all of you who support me in so many different ways. So keep watching, listening. It's more listening. All the stuff, sharing with friends, letting them know about it. And don't forget about my hypnotherapy sessions. It's coming. So I want you guys to get those great bonuses. All right, guys, I'll see you again next week.